Thanks be to God. And thank you, Evan, for reading God's word for us. Good morning, everyone. Before we dive into the sermon, I wanted to take a moment to give an illustration of what we're going to talk about. And this is particularly for the kids. Virginia, you can come over. My daughter Virginia is going to provide a little help with this illustration. You can think of this as a little bit of a children's sermon. So who are you holding, Virginia? Yeah, remember the name? Finch, right? Yeah, Finch. And Finch is a newborn chick. We just incubated some chicken eggs and have some new baby chicks in our house. And one of the things you have to learn when you have little baby chickens is how to hold them. And so, Virginia, tell us, how do you hold a baby chicken?
One hand underneath and one hand on top.
Okay. And should you push really hard?
No.
No, gently. How about, but gently, but it's kind of an art, right? Because you don't want to hold it too loose because it could also escape and get hurt that way. So what we're going to talk today about is gentleness. And it's something that you need to learn, gentleness, when you hold a baby chicken. And we're going to talk about it as one of the ways that God holds us, one of the ways that God treats us, and also one of the ways that we need to be treated and need to treat each other too. So that's an illustration for kids and adults. You want to show the baby chicken one more time? It's so cute. We'll take it away during the sermon because it makes cute noises too, which will be distracting from my not cute noises. Okay, thank you, Virginia, for your help. So we're talking about gentleness. We're working through the fruit of the Spirit, and gentleness is the penultimate one. So we'll finish the series sermon, the sermon series next week. This word gentleness that Paul uses in Galatians 5, there's actually a small family of words used in the New Testament to mean gentleness. It could also be translated meekness. You see that actually in the Beatitudes, that basically a related word is used that's often translated, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You can think of it as blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In thinking about this sermon and gentleness and meekness this week, I remembered a t-shirt that a friend of mine wore once in college. So this was one of my first friends in college. We met in orientation and we're good friends throughout. He was an atheist. So as I became a Christian in college, we ended up talking a lot about faith. But I remember one shirt that he had said this: the meek may inherit the earth, but the bold go to the stars. So it's of course a playful shirt, but I think it kind of playfully captures the trouble that our culture finds with meekness or gentleness. And I think it's this, that this idea that if you are gentle, you will be left behind. In other words, sure, it can be a nice thing to be gentle, but in reality, it's not gentleness, but assertiveness that gets the job done. Well, this morning I want to look at a passage where Paul says actually the opposite, that it is in fact gentleness that gets the job done, that it is gentleness that is exactly the fruit we need the Holy Spirit to bear in our lives. So I'll be reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. This is the second chapter. This may be the oldest book in the New Testament, actually, probably Paul's first letter to a church, and he's probably writing it just a few weeks after he visited this church and first announced the gospel to them. So 1 Thessalonians, starting in chapter 2, verse 1, it's printed in the order of worship if you want to follow along, or you can open up a Bible or just listen as I read from it. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal did not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This is God's word given to us for our good. Let me pray for us before we look more deeply at this. God, you know us, and you know that we are a people who need to be treated with gentleness. Thank you that you do that for us, that you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are exceedingly gentle with us. God, give us rest in that part of you today. Give us hope, give us strength in that. And I pray by the power of your Spirit, you would make us increasingly like that toward one another also. Speak to us now by your word. We pray in Christ. Amen. So in the first couple of verses in this passage we read, Paul says that his experience in Thessalonica was a high conflict situation. He and Silas had actually just come from another high conflict situation in Philippi. You can read about that in Acts 16 if you want later today. They were beaten with rods. They were in prison there. And then they leave Philippi, go to Thessalonica, and basically the same thing happens. High conflict situation. The city forms this mob to drive out Paul and Silas and oppose those who had believed. You ask maybe why such high conflict. I think one commentator from Howard University nails it, that Philippi and Thessalonica were two cities that enjoyed special privilege with Rome. And so for these cities to have people in them, these Christians saying that there was another king, there was King Jesus, was a threat to that privilege that they enjoyed with Rome. And so it was a high stress, high conflict situation for Paul and his co-workers, as well as the early church. Now, when conflict is high, when stress is high, being gentle is the least natural temperament. I used to, as a young adult, think of myself naively, very self-unaware, as naturally gentle. It just took a little bit more life for me to see, a little bit deeper experience with friends, with coworkers, with family, with kids, maybe in particular, with social media, to make it clear to me what's clear now, that when stress is high, gentleness is actually not natural at all. But Paul wants to remind the Thessalonians that what might come naturally to us in high conflict does not actually represent God's kingdom. Paul first in this passage lists all the ways that do not represent God's kingdom, all the ways that Paul and his co-workers did not treat the Thessalonians. He says, we didn't run away from you, right? We didn't run away from conflict. We had boldness. Secondly, we didn't deceive you with falsehood. We didn't say what would be pleasing or flattering to you as a pretext for getting what we wanted. He also says we didn't throw our weight around as apostles. We didn't use our title to compel you to do what we wanted you to do. In other words, Paul is saying, Thessalonians, think about all the things that politicians and religious leaders and philosophical teachers and bosses do to manipulate. Well, that may work for them, but it is not how God's kingdom gets the job done. Instead, he's saying God's kingdom advances by gentleness. And Paul explains that starting in verse 7. If you have a physical Bible in front of you, it may have a footnote saying that there's uncertainty about the word that Paul uses here. That he's either saying we were gentle, or he's saying we were like infants. It's a complicated issue as to there's texts that show both of those possibilities. But let me just for now say, whatever the case is, whatever word Paul was using at that point, I think the point is actually the same. Paul is telling them, whether he's saying we were gentle like infants, that we didn't come at you throwing our weight around. We came at you with meekness. We came at you with gentleness. Well, Paul, when he mentions that, gives two metaphors, two pictures for Christian gentleness. One is he gives the picture of a mother nursing her own children. And secondly, he gives a picture of a father exhorting and encouraging his children. It's striking that the two pictures Paul gives of gentleness is the pictures of parents. Now, I don't have to tell you that that is not always the case in our world. Many of us know that personally, either from our own experience as children or our own experience as parents. But Paul does want us to think about those best moments of parenting, those best moments when we have seen the gentleness of a mother or a father. The nursing mother. She's a picture of gentleness that, as Paul says, shares its own self with another, right? Literally, the nursing mother is sharing her body to give life to the child. It's a picture of persistent, physical, nurturing presence that's required in true gentleness. The father is a picture of persistent presence of exhorting and encouraging that is also a part of gentleness. Gentleness should not be confused, Paul is implying, with a lack of involvement. It's quite the opposite. It is persistent, delicate engagement, right? It's that which is actually much more challenging either than brute force or than absence is this gentle presence that Paul is talking about. And so the gentleness of the nursing mother and of the exhorting and encouraging father, that is what Paul says they showed the Thessalonians. He says they cherished them. They held them to be very dear. They shared themselves with them. They exhorted and encouraged them. Because Paul says gentleness, not force, gets the job done. So when you think about it, there are some things in our world that require a forceful touch. For example, if you think about demolishing a wall, let's say you're doing some demo work in your home, that is something that usually requires a forceful touch. But if you think about it, there are also many things in our world that require a gentle touch. Let's say you're demolishing just part of a wall and you're doing that right around some painted glass window. That will take some gentleness also. Or think about things like harvesting berries, shaping dough, crafting a violin. So many things in our world require gentle touch. Virginia gave us that picture at the beginning of holding baby chicks. We had to work hard with our younger child to get this art down. If you squeeze them too tight, it will hurt the chick. But if you hold it too loosely, if you're too absent in touch, it could just jump out and also get hurt, especially when it's little. Well, true gentleness is neither applying force nor letting go. True gentleness is a touch, and it is an art of faithful, respectful touch, faithful, respectful presence. Well, the reality when we think about all the things in our world that require gentle touch is that people are one of those things in our world that requires a gentle touch. That goes all the way from the nursing child to the teenager or the three-nager. It goes all the way to our seniors. It goes for the strongest brute of a man. And it goes for the most type A confident personality. Whenever you see any human, no matter what else you might think about them, we should also think of them as labeled handle with care. You see, what gets the job done with any human is always gentleness. And that is why when I studied the theme of gentleness in the New Testament this week, I was struck how often it is we are told to apply it in every situation you can imagine. We're told to be gentle when speaking with other Christians, when correcting someone who's gone astray in Galatians 6. Paul in Colossians 3, especially when he's addressing men as fathers, as husbands, or as masters, as those three roles in the Greco-Roman household, he's saying, you may have by society been given a place of authority, but use your authority how? He says specifically in each role, not harshly, but gently. Love with gentleness in every role you've been given. We're told in the New Testament to, in many places, when we're speaking with opponents, with our own enemies, with those who treat us harshly, to treat them gently. Because only gentleness in every one of these situations gets the job done. So how ought we to think about our own gentleness? Well, I think it's best not to think of gentleness, and that really goes for all of this fruit of the Spirit, not to think of it as something we either have or don't have. The most helpful question is probably not, do I have gentleness? But the more helpful question is probably, how can I keep in step with the Holy Spirit in cultivating gentleness in my life in ever-increasing measure? Well, let me close by focusing on one chief way I think we can seek to cultivate gentleness in ever-increasing measure in our lives. Notice with me in verse 2. Paul says that when they were with the Thessalonians, they had boldness in our God. You see, in the midst of conflict and stress, I think the only way to come out treating others with gentleness is to have boldness in God. If you lack that, it is exceedingly hard to have genuine Christian gentleness with another because we just feel too much under threat. But to be bold in knowing that God will get the job done to bring his kingdom, it frees us up to be gentle. It reminds us of exactly the role that we play in the whole equation. And so when we think boldly about how does God get the job done, one of the big themes we see emphasized again and again in Scripture is that he does it with astonishing gentleness, right? We heard in the prophetic lesson we heard today from Isaiah 40, that God gets the job done of caring for his people by being a shepherd who gathers lambs into his arms. We heard it with this in our gospel lesson in Matthew 11, that Jesus is gentle. He's lowly in heart. And that's how he gets the job done of bringing his kingdom, by inviting us to come and find rest in him. Scripture shows us that in God we have the Father who gently woos his children. God as the mother hen who shelters her young under her wings. God, the priestly son who deals gently with us because he knows what it's like to be feeble. And God, the Spirit who comes to us as a gentle dove. Well, friends, our call to worship this morning, David says this astonishing thing. He says to God, God, your gentleness has made me great. You see, it's by God's design that there is nothing like gentleness that makes us great, that disarms us, that brings us to life and nurtures us in life. And so my prayer for you, as my prayer for myself, is that God, by the power of the Spirit, would help us to find shelter and greatness in his own gentleness. And that he would also show us, help us to show that same gentleness to one another. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.